The Earl King spread his hands, as if he felt the suggestion should have been self-evident to everyone present. "Of course, Raffarut. Again, thou hast given excellent service." The wispy goblin bowed at the waist and retreated to the shadows, his mouth curling up in a small smile. "Oh," I said, "oh, crap."
"What?"
Susan whispered. I turned to speak quietly to her, in a whisper pitched to register only to her more than human hearing, and hoped that the goblins didn't hear even better than that.
"The Earl King can't harm us, or allow us to come to harm while we are his guests. Ditto for the Reds. But since we have competing claims that must be settled, he can establish a trial by combat to see who is correct, or at least committed to his version of the story."
Susan's eyes widened as she understood.
"If we won't fight for our side of the story, he decides against us and for the Ebes."
I nodded.
"At which point he can declare that we have abused his hospitality,"
I said,
"and he will be free to kill us, probably without repercussion."
"But you just said..."
"The Winter Queen doesn't feel a thing for me," I said. "She might be annoyed, but this time next week she'll barely remember me."
"But the council..."
"I said they would feel strongly about it," I said. "I never said they'd be upset." Susan's eyes got a little wider.
"A trial of skill, then," the Earl King said. "A match. The knight and the lady huntress versus two of your own, Red Hunters. Choose which will stand for your side of the issue."
He clapped his hands once, a sound like a small cannon going off.
"Prepare the hall."
Goblins leapt to obey and cleared the long trestle tables outward with great energy and efficiency. Others began to rip at the stone with their bare, black-nailed hands. They tore it like wet earth, swiftly gouging out a great ring in the floor, a trench 6 inches wide, almost that deep, and 30 or 40 yards across.
"We're hardly armed properly for such a trial, mine host," I said, "whilst the Red Hunters are fully equipped for battle as they are."
The Earl King spread his hands again.
"Ah, but they are armed with what they deemed necessary to them for the hunt. And a true hunter never leaves himself unprepared for what the world may bring to face him. Do you say, perhaps, that you are no hunter after all?"
"No," Susan said at once. "Of course not." The Earl King looked at her and gave her a nod of approval.
"I am glad you find yourselves appropriately armed."
He glanced over at the Ebes, who were discussing matters in furious whispers, probably employing a non-standard use of pronouns.
"Sooth, boy, you were quick enough at wordplay that I would fain feed thee and send thee on thy way, had you come here unpursued. But I will not rouse the wrath of the lords of Outer Night lightly. A war with them would be a waste of dozens of excellent hunting moons." He shrugged. "So, prove yourselves worthy, and you may be on your way."
I cleared my throat.
"And our fellow visitors?"
The Earl King didn't smile or otherwise change his expression, but I suddenly got creeped out enough to have to fight to keep from stepping away from him.
"My hall is fully furnished to receive all manner of outsiders. There are rooms in these caves filled with clever devices meant for the amusement of my kin, and lacking only the appropriate participants."
"What happens if we lose?"
Susan asked.
"If fortune is kind, you will have clean deaths in the trial. If not," he shrugged, "certain of my kin, Raffarut, for example, are most eager to give purpose to all the rooms of my hall. You would amuse them for as long as you could respond, which might be a very, very long time."
Susan eyed the Earl King. Then she said,
"Let's do it, then. I, too, have promises to keep."
He inclined his head to her.
"As you wish, Lady Huntress. Sir Knight, Lady, please enter the circle."
I started toward it, and Susan walked beside me.
"How should we do it?" she asked.
"Fast and hard." Her voice turned wry.
"How did I know you'd want it like that?"
I let out a short bark of genuine laughter. I thought I was supposed to be the one with one thing on his mind.
"Oh, when we were younger, certainly," she replied. Now, though, our roles have reversed.
Meaning you want it fast and hard, too?
She gave me a sly and very heated look with her dark eyes from beneath her dark lashes.
Let's just say that there's something to be said for that once in a while.
She spun the table leg in a few circles. I watched. She stopped and glanced at me, arching an eyebrow inquisitively. My godmother might have tipped me off to a cure, a way to free Susan of the creature that had devoured half of her being and thirsted for me, something the Fellowship of St. Giles had been trying and failing to do for hundreds of years. It was possible that, with a bit more work, I could make it happen for her, give her back control of her life. But even if I did, we couldn't be together. Not now.